You're listening to Pursuing Justice, a podcast from Juvenile Law Center.
Each episode spotlights a pressing issue in the child welfare and juvenile justice systems and brings you true stories from the youth who deal with them.
Pursuing Justice is produced by Juvenile Law Center, a public interest law firm dedicated to advancing the rights and well-being of children in jeopardy. Consider supporting this work and giving to the Juvenile Law Center by going to the support page on www.jlc.org.
Hello and welcome to Pursuing Justice. I'm Yoe Shaw. Today, we present the second installment in our Luzerne in the Wake of Reform series. Last podcast, you heard the saga of what actually happened in the Kids for Cash scandal. Today, we look beyond the news story to see if any action has been taken to prevent another judicial corruption scandal from happening. And what better day to think about reform than today, January 26, 2011. As I speak, it's been exactly 2 years since the federal indictments against former judges Mark Chiavarella and Michael Conahan came out, and when the Luzerne County Kids for Cash scandal broke. Remember what that was all about?
I remember that young people were brought up on light charges.
I took a stroll in Center City, Philadelphia, and asked people if the Luzerne County Kids for Cash scandal rang a bell.
The DA's office or whoever would be so-called legal advice that they didn't need particular legal advice. And the children were whisked away to one or two reform schools.
No, I have no idea. I've never even heard of it.
Does not. I don't even know where that is, honestly.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Luzerne County, is that a Pennsylvania county? No, I don't remember that at all.
It does, slightly.
What do you remember?
I'm trying to brainstorm now.
I don't know. I think there was a story in the paper just a few days ago about it, but what I remember is that the kids got a really raw deal.
No. I probably should, but I don't.
Only 3 of the 9 people I talked to were familiar with the scandal. Not the most scientific experiment, but you get the main idea. It's easy for the public to forget about scandals and news events, especially in today's world of information overload. So to jog your memory, here's what happened. In 2009, 2 Luzerne County, Pennsylvania judges were accused of getting millions of dollars in kickbacks for sending kids away to for-profit detention centers. Many of these kids didn't have a lawyer, and many of them were sent away on really minor offenses in these shotgun court hearings that lasted a minute or two. In the end, one judge pleaded guilty, while the other judge is still awaiting trial in February. As for the thousands of kids who were wronged, Juvenile Law Center was able to get their cases vacated and their records expunged. End of story, right?
Luzerne County is totally an entire county now of people who suspect their legislators and politicians and officials, and they just expect everyone now to be totally, completely corrupt because it's like their entire world was flipped upside down.
Hillary Transu was the star of her last podcast as we followed her story of being sent away to a wilderness boot camp for making a harmless MySpace parody. To Hillary, the story is far from over.
Precautions need to be set in place, and I think that people need to see this sort of active reform. People need to not only be taking part in it, but I think people need to be able to see the reform afterwards. You know, this is what's going on. These are the actions that have been taken. This is what's going on in your county.
So what exactly is going on? 2 years later, have safeguards been put in place? On today's show, we try to answer these questions. We'll give you a breakdown of the major structural issues that allowed this scandal to happen in the first place, as well as an update on the current state of reform. The Kids for Cash scandal may have faded from the public's mind, as all newsworthy events eventually do, but it doesn't mean the problem has been solved. Let's begin by going back to 2009, when the scandal came out and shocked the nation.
2 judges, Mark Chiavarella and Michael Conahan, charged in a federal case involving $2.6 million.
The Interbranch Commission on Juvenile Justice was created by an act passed by the General Assembly in August of 2009.
Pennsylvania Superior Court Judge John M. Cleland served as chairman of the Interbranch Commission on Juvenile Justice, which was really the first major step towards reform. The commission brought together experts to put together a set of recommendations for the 3 branches of government to make sure the scandal can never happen again.
The process of the investigation, bearing in mind that ours was non-criminal investigation, the criminal work was being handled by the U.S. attorney, was that we conducted all our proceedings, except for our organizational and background business meeting, public, because we thought that was important as a first step to restoring confidence in the system.
The Interbranch Commission spent an incredible amount of time and effort investigating and writing reform recommendations. In the 9 months it took to issue the final recommendations, the commission held 12 days of public hearings, heard from 70 witnesses, and had 7 days of work sessions and twice weekly conference calls.
What were your major findings from the investigation?
Well, in the end, we adopted 43 separate recommendations covering 20 different areas. So it's hard to say what the key findings were, but I think there were probably three particularly important areas. First, we were concerned about the honesty and competency of judges, made specific recommendations about mandatory education for judges, masters, and for hearing officers that handle juvenile cases. Second, we were concerned about children being represented at all stages by competent and well-trained attorneys, as well as representation by the Commonwealth, by district attorneys who were adequately and appropriately trained. And finally, we were concerned about the opportunity for both the Commonwealth and for children to have a timely and appropriate appellate review that reflected the needs and realities of not only the children involved, but public safety.
Yeah, definitely. I think that those are certainly three of the major issues that emerged. But I do think that from Juvenile Law Center's perspective, we could have gone slightly farther. The commission could have gone slightly farther.
Juvenile Law Center attorney Ria Saha Shah.
When it became public knowledge about what was happening in Luzerne, there were a lot of efforts to try and fix things. So when the governor established the commission, we examined different statutes and rules around the country and identified best practices in juvenile justice systems across the country.
Juvenile Law Center came out with its own set of recommendations, which were submitted to the commission for consideration as well.
Well, what we saw as the biggest problems were the lack of representation, of competent representation by attorneys for the youth. What was most striking is that Luzerne County had the largest number of kids waiving their right to counsel than any other county in Pennsylvania. So it's not enough to just say we need better representation. We also need to mandate it so that kids aren't waiving their right to counsel. Secondly, these kids that appeared before Judge Chiavarella didn't have a mechanism to challenge their findings of guilt and their sentences. And what emerged out of Luzerne was that we need to find a better and more speedy appellate system. And then lastly, kids were brought in shackles and handcuffs for very minor offenses when there was really no risk that they were going to flee or that there was no risk of them harming another person, or they were removed from the courtroom in shackles and handcuffs. And that image is what stuck in the minds of these parents.
As for the current state of reform, little has happened since the Interbranch Commission issued its final recommendations last May.
Once the commission was established, there was a lot of momentum around reform in Luzerne. And there were people that really took it upon themselves. There were legislators who introduced bills. There were some funds that were appropriated for the original victims, and there have been some rules that have been proposed in order to make changes to the juvenile court procedures. However, little has really happened.
Judge Cleland, however, has a different take on the delay.
These are very complex problems. They have a lot of facets. And so I think it would be a mistake to just assume that these can be resolved and addressed with a snap of the finger. It's more complicated than that. So progress is being made.
Whatever the case is, when actual reform does take place in Pennsylvania, the rest of the country will be watching.
Well, that is a very interesting question. You know, what effect this unfortunate scandal in Pennsylvania has on other states? And I think the answer to that is that if it could happen in Pennsylvania, it could happen anywhere. because Pennsylvania is acknowledged as a state that has a very good juvenile justice system. And to think that this could happen here is particularly shocking, and no doubt is a wake-up call or an alert or an alarm clock to people in other states that there may be lurking problems in their systems as well.
Special thanks to Judge Cleland for his important work on the Interbranch Commission and for joining the podcast today. Stay tuned for the rest of our Reform in the Wake of Luzerne series, where we take a closer look at specific reform issues. In 2 weeks, we'll examine the use of restraints on youth and how shackling affected Luzerne families and children. To find out more information about the Luzerne County Kids for Cash scandal and Juvenile Law Center's litigation, go to www.jlc.org. On our website, you can also subscribe to this podcast and support our work by going to the donate page. Thanks for listening.